Please tell me you guys in the chat could hear me right now. Please tell me the audio is working. I'm terrified. Please tell me. Good. Oh my goodness. Holy crap. Holy crap. Oh my God. All right. Finally, we're live. Finally. Oh my God. You guys have no idea the roller coaster of emotions today. I started at such a high with going to Mets Fan Fest. It was great. Had a great time there. And then all of a sudden I come back. The Will Borgen extension happens. I'm about to go live for it. And my computer breaks. So then I had to go get it fixed. And it's still not fixed. It's going to take a couple of days for it to get fixed. So now I'm streaming from the laptop. It took me forever to set everything up on the laptop. Now we're here. We're finally here. And I didn't know if the mic was going to work or not. I don't know if the camera's good. It might be a bit laggy, but bear with me with the stream. I do apologize. I apologize if I go insane at any point in the stream, because holy crap, setting this up was completely making me lose my mind. And I apologize for all of the technical difficulties and, you know, doing this live late in general and all that other stuff. As you can see, I got a different microphone as well compared to what I usually use, so it might not sound the best. I apologize for all of that in advance, but yeah, my computer just completely crapped out, and I'm going to have to, yeah, Chris Shorey probably fried my computer. I'm going to have to figure out a way to get that fixed, or if not, I'm going to have to get a new computer, which would really suck because that's a lot of money there, but whatever it may be, it will be at this point, so yeah, because at the end of the day, I need to do this for the streaming. But regardless, enough about me, enough about my computer. Let's talk about why you guys are here. Will Borgen. Will Borgen gets an extension, and it is a five-year extension where he will be making a annual average salary of 4.1. I wish it was 1.4. I'm going to stumble over my words a lot tonight. I'm losing it, man. But either way, 4.1 million for 5 years for Will Borgen, who they acquired a couple weeks ago for Kaapo Kakko. And honestly, I'm going to be honest here. I don't love the deal. I don't. And the instant reaction when I said it, you would think that I called Will Borgen like the worst thing in the world. You would think that I called that contract the worst thing to ever exist. But that's just not the case, because I'm not going to sit here and lose my mind and throw things. I'm not going to go absolutely crazy over this. I think it's an overpay. I think the term is very steep. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to sit here and be entirely pissed off. I still felt the route the Rangers should have went, and I've stood by this for a couple of weeks now. The Rangers should be cashing in on what they could get for Will Borgen at the deadline, because imagine they got what they did for Kaapo Kakko and then flipped Will Borgen to get like a first-round pick or a second-round pick, a conditional second that could turn into a first-round pick. Imagine they went the route of that, selling off at the deadline. But then, of course, this team started playing better hockey. Will Borgen being a part of that, I'm not going to dispute that. However, I don't love the idea of paying a guy just because of what he's done the first 20 games. I want to take everyone back for a second. When the Rangers first got Will Borgen, what were we all saying on the live streams? What were we all saying on Twitter? What were all of our opinions? I want everybody to type in the chat right now. What did you initially think of Will Borgen? And do not lie. Do not lie and say, oh, I loved the acquisition. Because I remember when they acquired Will Borgen, everyone was losing their damn minds and saying, well, you know, they need a body on defense. And that was what my reaction was. It was just, all right, they need a body on defense right now. 20 games have gone by. And now all of a sudden, this entire fan base and the front office did a complete 180. And again, he's playing good here. There is no doubt about it. I have actually really liked Will Borgen's play outside of the first like five games here. But the past 15, whatever amount of games it's been, I've liked Will Borgen. But you don't rush to sign a guy to an extension after just a few good games. To me, that's a little bit rushed. And to me, Kaapo Kakko is playing well in the first 15 to 20 games. Why not just extend Kakko at the beginning of the season if you're going to sign a guy for what he did in a small sample size? That's what I'm trying to understand. And I get that, like, this is maybe what they're thinking, is they have Mikkola hangover from letting him go and then him winning. The difference is Mikkola didn't thrive here. Borgan actually is. But the problem that I have is this is too much money for a guy who ideally, and this is ideally because this also got me a lot of heat on Twitter when I said this, ideally, he is a third pair defenseman on a Stanley Cup winning team. He's not a guy you want on your second pair like he is right now. He's not a guy that you want playing on his offhand to, you know, be on the second pair, whatever it is. You want him on the third pair ideally. And this is a steep price for a third pair defenseman. Like, there's no way around it. It is what it is. I get the cap is jumping and everything. I understand. Believe me, I know. But at the end of the day, it's steep considering what we've seen third pair defensemen get. And considering the other thing, what is the plan for Braden Schneider then? Because if you're not trading him, what are you doing then? Because I don't know if I view Schneider as a second pair defenseman either. Are you going to play Schneider on his offhand? But then at the end of the day, what are you going to do there? Because if you're keeping Keandre Miller around and you want Will Borgan to stay around and have that be a pair, well, if that's your third pair, then where's Braden Schneider playing? They just have a lot of guys, to me, that are that should be lower in the lineup, ideally, on a cup-winning team. And Borgan, I find Borgan to be in that category. But the problem is that, you know, what do you do with these guys? What do you do? And I'm not sure. The other thing that I don't like is the trade protection on parts of this deal. And it's not the worst, the trade protection, because there's partial no trade clauses in there, which either way, though, how is a guy that should be a third pair defenseman again on a cup winning team getting trade protection at all? But in terms of that, is a full no trade for next season, a 15 team no trade list in 26-27. 27-28, a 10-team no trade list, 6 teams in 28-29, and then the last year of the deal, no trade protection at all. I don't understand why they continue to give out these contracts with no trade protection. This is going to take him to age 33 as well, which that also is interesting. It's not like the deal is going to be immovable in the last 2 years if, God forbid, you know, things start to decline in this game. But the problem is, why is it that they are so in love with what they've seen in the first 20 games? And again, I get it because I love what I've seen from Will Borgan, but at the very least, I would respect more if they waited out the remainder of the season before coming to a conclusion on if they wanted to keep Borgan, because realistically, how much more would he get even if he started playing better? Is he really going to be able to command an extra like $1 million, $2 million on the open market? I don't know. And you know, if that's the case on Will Borgan's end, why did he not want to play the rest of the season out and then wait for the free agent market to go in and cash in on the most money possible? To me, I think this was just a rush contract, and a lot of it reeks of Brendan Smith, which is what worries me the most too, because if you guys remember, Brendan Smith gets traded over here and he played solid. They extend him after a short sample size, and How did that go? This is the only positive I could agree with, that Ryan Lindgren's not coming back then, because they still have to revamp the decor, and you cannot have Ryan Lindgren around if you're trying to revamp the decor and then also give Will Borgan that contract, because you would most likely have gave Ryan Lindgren that deal after this upcoming one if anyone was going to get it, but obviously not. Clearly, they have other plans with him. So that's the only positive I could take away from this, as I'm trying to pull up Puckpedia right now, because cap wages did not have the extension in this. Okay, Puckpedia does. So let's load up a Puck GM here just to get an idea of what things are looking like for next offseason, as the cap will be up to $97 million. And then let's click on the Rangers. So I just want to get an idea of what the cap picture looks like now with Borgen here. So, I mean, they do have their right side filled out, but again, I don't love the fact that I just don't love that Schneider or Borgen is the second pair right shot defenseman. To me, just ideally, you want those guys on your third pair on a cup winning team. Ideally, at least in my opinion. But looking at the roster right now, so assuming Brodzinski is a scratch, and then just call it Mancini maybe to play on the bottom pair, which sure. And then Mackey is a scratch. So if you have a scratch and then Mancini comes up, I should also probably bring Berard up, because I'd imagine Berard's going to get a full-time gig next year. Brandon Othman, call him up because he's probably going to get a gig, and then sign Gabe Perreault, who's probably going to get his ELC. Sorry, I'm just trying to do this on the fly here. And then where's Dylan Garand? Give him like a one-year deal at like $925K. So that would leave them, after all those moves, with $18 million in cap space to fill out two winger slots, which Will Cooley will fill out one of them probably. And that's probably going to be north of $3.5 million, maybe even four at this point, considering what Will Borgen just got, especially in a short body of work, considering a short body of work here at the very least. And they still have two left shot defensemen they have to sign. It's a lot of holes to fill with a little amount of, with $18 million in cap space. It's a lot. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not losing my mind here, to be honest with you, with this contract. I don't love it, but I'm not losing my mind. That's really what it is. But yeah, leave a like if you haven't already, by the way. Subscribe if you guys are new. Turn on your notifications, all that other stuff. I want to see what you guys are saying. Laba will probably get signed, but I don't think he's going to start in the NHL right away. That's why I didn't include Laba. Another guy that needs a deal is Adam Edstrom. I mean, the thing is, okay, so let's have this conversation. So let's just play pretend here and say Will Cooley gets a 2-year deal at, we'll be generous and say $3.5 million, right? We'll say $3.5 million for 2 years. And then let's say Adam Edstrom gets a 1-year deal worth like $1.5 million. I think that's fair for both of those guys. So if they did that, they'd have $13 million to fill out two left-shot defensemen. But the problem is this. So if their forward group consisted of Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere, Kreider, Zibanejad, Perreault, Cooley, Hedl, Othman, Berard, Carrick, Edstrom, and then their defense was Fox, Schneider, and then Mancini, Borgen, and then they have to fill in the rest. How are we feeling about that team? Obviously, there's still work to be done, and Kaliev, too, is another guy that they could maybe sign. I mean, Smith, I agree with, but I don't know if Kaliev is going to go or not. I mean, this is true, but we know that that's not realistic, man. Like, if they were able to move Zibanejad and Kreider this offseason, that would be the ultimate we could retool this roster. But let's be realistic here, you're probably moving one of them at most. And then you know what? We should even play pretend further here, because this team is so obsessed with the idea of getting JT Miller. So let's throw in Sakura. Let's throw in Phil Pietl. Let's throw in a draft pick, since that was rumored in the deal, and throwing another prospect here for for JT Miller. Let's just do the rumored package. Pretend JT Miller's here now, right? Then all of a sudden, your cap is down to $9.9 million. And you have JT Miller on that second line with Cooley and Perreault. And then your third line's Kreider, Zibanejad, Hoffman. I don't know, man. There's still a lot of work to do with the defense. And that's if they feel comfortable with Mancini, by the way. Because if they don't, then they're going to have to sign another veteran. And I'm not disagreeing, Agent, about Miller. The thing is that they're targeting him. That's the only reason I'm saying it. I don't understand why people want Kreider gone. He's a playoff guy and will continue to be a clutch guy. Zero reason to trade him unless he wants a raise, because he's clearly on the decline right now and you need to open cap somewhere. Where else are you opening cap? Because if the roster that I just said to you, and even if you want to swap Hedl with JT Miller, so if the roster right, if the roster next year was Panarin, Trocheck, Laff, Cooley, Miller, Gabe, Kreider, Zibanejad, Hoffman, Berard, Carrick, Edstrom, they have to fill in two left shot D-men, Fox, Schneider, Borgen on the right, and then Mancini on the bottom pair at $9.9 million to add two defensemen. Does that scream to you a cup roster? Does that? I don't know. It doesn't to me. It does not to me. Schneider's getting traded. We have to see about that. That's not a guarantee. I mean, if Schneider gets traded, that would make more sense for this contract. That would make a lot more sense for this contract, because then Borgen could actually be on the third pair, which is where he should be. On a cup winning team, like I said. Move Schneider up with Fox and see what happens. It depends how much they really want to. If they want to commit to him on the left side, I mean, sure, why not? Yeah, to retool, they have to move a few of those guys, Gavin, whether it's Kreider, Mika, Schneider, Hedl. I don't know, man. They just have... I just am so lost right now. I'm just so lost with this team and where they want to go. I really am. And I agree with this. Like, I don't love the amount of years on Borgen at all. I really do not. Considering the fact that, like I said before, it's just, like, I agree, you gotta wait for a larger sample size, and I just don't get how you get rid of Barkley Goodrow because of his term and the higher AAV, and he was a depth player, and then you give a guy that could be, again, he's outperforming right now expectations. I am not denying that with Will Borgen. But what if he regresses back to the mean? What if he regresses back to what he was when they traded for him? Borgen could play 20 minutes on a cup winning team. No, I can't agree with that, man. I don't know about that one. I've liked what Borgen has done. No, man, no. What could I ask you again? Could I ask everyone in the chat again, now that more people are here? Everybody tell me, what did you guys think of Will Borgen when the Rangers acquired him. Tell me in the chat what you guys thought of him again. Or if you didn't type it before, tell me now. What did you guys think of Will Borgen when the Rangers acquired him? We got who in the chat? Who? Two who's. I had no idea who he was. Exactly. Wasn't happy. This is my point. Who is this? This is exactly my point. That's all we got. Underwhelmed. Not worth Kako. This is exactly my point here. Of how much I feel this signing is a knee-jerk reaction. But we know who he is now. Yeah, because he's playing good in a small sample size. You don't sign guys based on a short sample size. That's what got them in trouble with Brendan Smith. It's exactly what did. And if I look wrong, more than happy to admit that I'm wrong about this. And I am more than happy to say, I would be more than happy for Will Borgen to go out there and thrive. Because again, if he plays like he has, this contract is fine. I have no issues with it. My problem is, throughout his career, he has not played to this level. And that's where I have my skepticism, man. That's where I'm skeptical of this. Thought it was a low-risk trade. If he plays well, you could flip him for assets. If he's bad, then you could let him walk. Never did an extension cross my mind. There's just a trigger-happy extension. This is my point, yeah. It's just way too trigger-happy. Howard's underlying numbers. His underlying numbers were garbage, and they have got better since he's came here. But again, how much, is the short sample size enough to say, you know what, this is it now? Like, Will Borgen's finally figured it out at age 28. That's my thing. I just think this is a little rushed. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of Will Borgen before they came to the conclusion. Because, like I said before, what if he regresses back to the mean? And I think the worst case, if he continued this throughout the rest of the season, he would have got an extra $500,000, maybe. Like, would we really be mad if it was 4.5 then at that point? I don't know. I feel like this is also the Rangers trying to save face from the fact that they dumped off Kako for him. I think that correlates to this a little bit. I really think it does. Because Borgen's been playing well. He has an opportunity to shut the fans up by extending Borgen because of his good play, make the Kako trade look salvageable, and now we're here. And it's just like, this is the other thing that is weird to me. How come he's being so caught, or how come usually Drury tends to be cautious, but with this, he was so trigger happy, and like, he felt like it had to be done now. That's what I'm trying to understand, because this does not align one bit with what Drury has done. Usually he takes the complete opposite approach, where he's a little too cautious for my likings, and then he ends up shooting himself in the foot for it. So I don't know if this is him trying to be the opposite way now or what it is, but I don't know. I have no clue at all. Guys, I get that the cap is going up, but that doesn't mean that you just spend money all willy-nilly on guy. You have to find guys that make sense for the roster. Those are two completely different things. Because if they were giving this money, hell, if they were giving $5 million, and let's say Will Borgen was this. If Will Borgen plays like this for all 5 years of the contract, what we've seen in the past 15 to 20 games, fine. I agree with you guys. I completely agree that it's fine, the contract. But they need help on the second pair. And is Will Borgen, in everybody's eyes, I want to know, do you guys envision Will Borgen being a second pair defenseman on a cup, on a Stanley Cup winning team? Does he? Because where is Schneider playing then? Unless you move him. And if you think Borgen is that good and could be a second pair guy on a cup winning team, all right, then I can't change your mind there. I can't. And sure, maybe you could argue this with the cap going up, but like I mentioned before, what is happening with Schneider? What is happening with Schneider then? Because at that point, move Schneider. You're not giving him the time of day. And to me, I view him the same way as I do Borgen. I view him as a third pair right shot D-man on a cup winning team. And if you're not going to trade Schneider, this doesn't make sense to me. It does not at all. And it is risky considering it's been 20 games. And yeah, this is exactly it. We've seen, this is a perfect point. We see Keandre Miller every single season. It's peaks and valleys with him. Peaks and valleys with Keandre Miller, where one half of the season, he looks like a tire fire. The other half, he looks solid and looks like he's a legit second pair defenseman. It's Jekyll and Hyde. And that's what I was saying before. That it reeks of saving face with the Kako trade. As my camera just went out there. I don't know if you guys could even hear me right now. You guys could still hear me, right? I'm going to try to fix my camera here. Hang on, guys. You guys can hear me? All right. Let me try to fix my camera quickly. I apologize for all the issues today, which if you're listening on audio, thankfully, you don't have to worry one bit about the camera issues at all. Why? Because thankfully for you, I now offer audio versions of these podcasts. You could listen to me wherever you want, whenever you want. If you feel like listening in the car, if you feel like, you know, going on a nice run, pop your AirPods in, listen to me scream in your ear, go ahead. You can take me on the go now. There we go. Fixed it. But yeah. You can take me on the go now. On audio. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever your podcasting platform is, go ahead, leave a rating and review. And again, this might, I don't know if the mic quality is garbage or not, so this might sound bad on audio, and I apologize if it does, but we're working with it. We're working with what we got today, because if you weren't here earlier in the stream, although if you're listening on audio, you know, but if you weren't here earlier in the stream, my computer broke today, so I'm resorting to the laptop, resorting to the backup equipment for this one. Going to the B equipment. Going to the B team for today. until my computer is fixed. But yeah, let me see what else you guys are saying in the chat before I wrap it up, just because it is getting late and I got to be up a little bit early tomorrow morning, which I am excited for tomorrow, which I do want to throw out there as well. If you guys are looking for my post-game coverage after the stream, or after the stream, after the game, if you're looking for my post-game coverage, that will not be probably until a little bit later on in the afternoon slash night, because I will be watching football. So I'm not going to be able to come on to the stream right away, or come on stream right away, unless we have a record-breaking game time and this game is over at a miracle pace, which that will not happen. So I will unfortunately not be able to give you guys coverage right after the game. So I apologize for that in advance, but I will do my best to get the stream going as soon as possible tomorrow, of course. What are my thoughts on the Rangers going after Byram to fill one of the spots? I don't think that's happening. Why? Because apparently the Buffalo Sabres are in on Elias Pettersson, because of course they would be. And the Rangers, why would they? But in terms of that, Bowen Byram is a guy that would go the other way in that type of deal. Like, there is not a doubt in my mind that Buffalo would move, I mean, Byram, or maybe they move Power. I don't know, man. But if that point, you're not moving both of them. So one of Power or Byram would probably go the other way in that deal. And then you're probably looking at like Dylan Cousins going in that deal as well, with another prospect and some draft picks. Buffalo should be all over that, man. That fan base needs it. That fan base needs an Elias Pettersson. Forgot about us for a second. That team needs an Elias Pettersson. That fan base needs one. Who's playing both sides of the fence here? I don't know what you're referring to with that one. I don't know if you're talking to me or someone in the chat, but who's playing both sides of the fence? But either way, I think that I think Buffalo should be all over that, and they're probably not going to be able to get Byram, the Rangers, that is, because of that. I would love for Byram to be a Ranger, but I just, again, I don't see it. I don't, because of that. But if they don't land Elias Pettersson, then the conversation could open up again. If they could flip Schneider for Byram, that would be unreal. They would have to probably move another. The Rangers would probably have to attach another piece to that deal, but I would still do it. That's true. Paterka would probably go in that deal too. Paterka would definitely go in a deal for Elias Pettersson. Yeah, I know. Drury wouldn't make a big swing. They do need to find a way to make that type of deal. Not even necessarily for Pettersson. Just like a big swing. I don't want it to be Pettersson. I don't necessarily like need it to be Pettersson, I should say. I like Pettersson more than most Ranger fans, but
I don't need it to be Pettersson, but I just don't want it to be Miller. I just want a big swing, though, man. Just want them to take a big swing at someone. The problem is I don't know who else is available besides those two. That's really what the issue is here. And that's, yeah, I don't know who else is available at all. The only way that, like, any of that could change is if things go so south in Detroit to the point where they have to make, like, a shakeup with one of their guys, like a Raymond or Larkin. And I don't know what it would take to get to that point, but unless it got to that, hoping the Rangers weren't going to trade for Rantanen, and then they're just not in, they're not in the spot to do it. They unfortunately weren't. Last year, I will continue to harp on it because I truly believe in my hearts of heart, my heart of hearts, whatever the saying is, I truly believe if the Rangers go all in last year at the trade deadline, they win the Stanley Cup. Truly believe that. I know there wasn't a Rantanen available, but if they took a big swing last year at the deadline, I really believe Gensel would be one of those guys. And I'm talking more than just Gensel. I'm talking Jake Gensel, and I'm talking like a big-time defenseman and like one other forward. Not being afraid to make the move you have to. One, you put Trouba on LTIR to be able to open up the cap for that. And two, they should have been more, they should have been more willing to part with other players on the roster to help them get and I know they needed a center last year, but they should have found a way to make the big swings last year. Like, you could have LTIR'd Hedl, they could have LTIR'd Trouba, and think of all the cap space they would have had last season to go and make a big swing when they're first in the NHL. Man. Man. I can't get over it. I truly can't, just because I will never not believe that last year, if they went all in, like if they did, they would have won. I'm sorry. I will never be convinced otherwise. I just will not. And this is the problem that they're trying to, they should have struck when the iron was hot, and now they're trying to like salvage what they didn't do last year. Like, if they truly wanted JT Miller that badly, why didn't they get him 2-3 years ago? Like, I get that they loved Schneider and thought highly of him, but you move Braden Schneider for JT Miller in 2022, because then you're at least getting prime years of JT Miller, to where I could look at that and say, wow, you just, the window is as good as it gets, and you have JT Miller for the next however many years. Like, imagine they had JT Miller for then. But now they want to get him when he's having a down year and when he's 32 years old. I don't get that. I don't get wanting to get him now. And even if Miller's good for a year or two, fine. But unless they win a cup, you waited too late to do it. You waited too late to do it. That's just my opinion, at least. I think that if they were just willing to part with Schneider in 2022, and that true, like, if the rumors are true, that is, that that would have got it done. I don't know. They win at least one of the years they get to the conference finals. Probably more likely last year, because I don't think Colorado was losing that year that they went to the Cup. But now, the problem is they're waiting till now to do it. And I don't know. I don't get it. Name the last team that made a big swing that led to them winning a Stanley Cup. The Florida Panthers, who retooled their roster after winning a President's Trophy, and it changed their entire identity, getting Matthew Tkachuk in that locker room, and they won a Stanley Cup. You have the Vegas Golden Knights, who traded one of their original players and one of their better leaders, and not only leaders, but one of their top six forwards, to go and get Jack Eichel. We saw it with those two teams. We just saw it with the past two Cup winners. Commanders, Eagles. Who wins tomorrow? Eagles. Eagles, Chiefs. Okay, sure. If you want to say it wasn't just Tkachuk, fine, but Tkachuk played such a huge factor in that. There's no denying that Matthew Tkachuk played a huge factor in that. They do not get to the Cup Finals that first season with him if he's not there. They do not get to the finals that year. But they retooled the roster after winning the President's Trophy. And that's why I was so frustrated this offseason with the Rangers, when they were just watching teams around them get better and they didn't really do much outside of add Riley Smith and Sam Carrick. That's why I was frustrated. Thank you for the $2, Van. Fans will call Will Borgen to be traded next year. We'll see. We'll see, man. I appreciate that, though. Yeah, I mean, they were willing to do what a lot of teams wouldn't have done. Like, who else would have made that type of swing after winning the President's Trophy? Yeah, Tkachuk, I believe, had three of the four game-winning goals in the conference finals versus the Canes. Talk about clutch and impact. Those are the guys you bring in to change a culture, exactly. And I'm not denying that those guys do not grow on trees. Not denying that. But it's annoying looking at the fact that, one, the Rangers, I get it with the Pegulas being stubborn about trading him here, but maybe the Rangers could have got Eichel. And it's just annoying that the Rangers have had opportunities to take big swings and they just don't. They just don't. And if I'm wrong and JT Miller ends up actually being that guy, fine. Be very happy to. But I just don't see the vision here with that, personally. Thank you for the $5, Jay Lewis. I appreciate it. Kachuk and Eichel had term besides Miller. Who could the Rangers get? That's what I'm saying. And I appreciate the $5. That's what I'm saying, though. That, like, again, I'm not denying that these guys don't grow on trees. They don't. Like, that is the truth. But I would like to see the Rangers try to make it happen, because they're, at the end of the day, too, there's a price for everyone. Also, Kachuk did not have term, to my knowledge. Like, did Kachuk have term? I thought Kachuk was an RFA when they got him. Am I wrong about that? I think Kachuk was an RFA when Florida got him. But either way, there's a price for everyone. And if the Rangers, if you're telling me the Rangers can't find someone, find a superstar in this league from like a fringe playoff team, and they offer like Lafreniere and, you know, a top prospect or another roster player with like a couple of draft picks, you're telling me that they at least aren't considering it? Yeah, Florida extended Kachuk when they trade for him. That's what I thought. It was a sign trade. Okay. That's what I thought. Okay. But either way, I get that they don't grow on trees, these type of things, but do it. Then just do it. And that's also why, if you're going to go in for JT Miller, then back up that you are committed to winning with the older guys on this roster, with the veterans, and move Lafreniere for a bigger piece. Do it then. If that's the direction you want to go, if you want to try to win within 2 to 3 years with an older roster, go for it. Then go ahead. Go for it. Yeah, Kachuk also won back-to-back games in OT against Boston, yeah. All right, guys, I am going to wrap it up here. I just realized I'm going way over time than what I usually do. But that is going to be it for me. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and watching. Do not forget to leave a like if you haven't already. Don't forget to subscribe. Turn on your notifications so you know when I upload or go live on the channel. And I'll see you guys in the next one.